This is another episode of Connecting the Dots podcast. I'm Skip Stewart, Vice President and Chief Improvement Officer at Baptist Memorial Healthcare.
Hey, everyone. I'm Brad Parsons, Vice President of Market Operations at Baptist.
Hi, I'm Gemma Jones, an improvement coach and trainer based in the UK and privileged to be working with Baptist.
Well, folks, we are very honored today. We are finishing up our three-part series, so today's part three, with Jane Adshead Grant. And you probably remember we've been talking about something we call Dare to Care, or what Jane calls Dare to Care. But before we launch into this third and final piece of this series, Jane, for those that haven't listened to part one and part two, would you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Thank you, Skip. Well, I'm thrilled to be here once again and with all the listeners. So my background has been for the last almost 40 years in people-focused roles. And for the last 23 years as an executive coach, working with leaders, emerging and experienced leaders, to really bring a human-centered approach to the way they engage their teams, grow their business and their people in harmony rather than at expense of one another. We've been talking about the Dared Cared framework, and I put this together during the pandemic and seeing the various behaviours that I have observed over the last few years from leaders that are really making a difference in the world of work, in healthcare, across financial and professional services. So I'm thrilled to be here again.
Jane, thank you so much. These have been fun conversations, and we're excited to continue today. If we've been talking about on the podcast, on the last two podcasts, about the Care Squared model and about kind of unpacking that. So we're going to continue to do that today. But I'm wondering for our listeners, if you would help us again, kind of frame up the importance of that model and kind of give us a summary as we launch in.
For sure. Thank you. Well, Care Squared really is a framework to help leaders begin to demonstrate a series of behaviors that will share and help people know that who they are and what they do matters. Because in the research, in my observations, what I've witnessed is when leaders care, it enables people to bring their best selves to their teams, their families, and the organizations. And the Cared Squared model is all about leading with dignity, where we get to transform lives one leadership step at a time through the behavior that we bring consistently and with compassion.
That's great. So in some of our other episodes, I hope the listeners will go back to episode one and two. They were really good. Today, we're on the E and the D in the Cared Squared model. And so we want to start with the E, Jane.
Sure. So the first E in Care Squared is around encouragement. And I bring this as a behavior for a leader in terms of encouragement is about helping others move beyond their comfort zones. And it's showing that leaders believe in potential. It's saying, you know, I see the potential in you today, not something that we're going to reach to. So leaders who are encouraging are those that ask questions. And we talked about ask questions in the A for Cared Squared. But encouragement is a leader takes courage. It requires to have this belief in the person's ability to grow. We often talk about being on the edge of that comfort zone. And encouragement is one of those behaviors that in fact is a leadership act, stretching the thinking and behaviors of their team members.
I really like the way you talk through encouragement, but you also said that it takes courage. Why is that?
It takes courage because it takes our courage to see the potential in the other. It's that we are trusting that person to take the leap, sometimes a leap of faith. In me as a leader, I have a vision, an idea of where we're going. And I want to encourage you as a team member to join me and come with me. And that takes courage because I don't know what might come forth, but I have a willingness to take the courage in you because I believe in you.
Yeah, I got to be honest, I've never thought about encouragement and being encouraging to others as taking courage. But I see that now, Jane. I really like that. I appreciate you sharing there. Gemma, what do you think about that?
I guess what really comes to mind now when I hear you talk, Jane, is about how different people need different types of encouragement and how a leader might. You know, you might have your own style and your own way of giving encouragement, whether that be through, like you said, it's a behavior. So it could be around words and signals that you're but it could be also other signals that you're giving people. And so I'm interested to know your take on that in terms of different forms of encouragement and how a leader might know what to give and when.
Yeah, well, when I'm speaking about encouragement here, for me, it's about taking people to the edge of their comfort zone. So the encouragement is us as a leader filling courage in our team members as well. So for me, it's about asking questions to help them keep thinking broadly beyond what they might have thought previously. And as you said, I love that idea of different people need different strokes. They sometimes say different things, different yeah. strokes for different folks. And so encouragement could be also linking in with the R of this framework when we've talked about reviewing performance or recognition. It's a type of encouragement. We recognize somebody's effort that they have brought to the situation. So encouragement can be in the form of appreciation and recognition, as well as stretching goals, saying, you know, really helping people think through and resourcing themselves with finding solutions, if you like.
I love that. So it's not just cheering someone on, you know, it's not just saying, well done, you know, well done. It's also about actively stretching them and taking them, you know, helping them get to the next level or helping them expand their horizons and their boundaries.
100%, Gemma. Couldn't have said it better.
Love yeah, that. It really makes me think about coaching. So how do when I use it, and that's a term that we use a lot, but when we say coaching in kind of the form of this encouragement, Jane, what do you think about that?
Well, I think it's a beautiful observation. I think the whole Dare to Care framework, Care Squared, is a coach approach to leadership. I think it is what team members want more than anything. In my experience, people don't want to be told or don't like to be told, quote, what to do. They like guidance for sure. But more often as a human being, we like to be able to navigate, find our way, and feeling that sense of agency. And I think that's what coaching does. When leaders choose a coach approach to leadership, it helps individuals develop, grow, develop resilience, find their own resourcefulness and hold themselves accountable, which we also talked about in the A for Care Squared.
Yeah, Jane, I don't know, the makings of a good kind of acronym like you've got here. I mean, it just naturally flows us into, you almost said it, but the other E is emotional agility. So I think this really fits into, and will you kind of unpack a little bit of emotional agility for us in the E?
Absolutely. And some people have found this particular behavior really meaningful in the sense it's emotional agility. What I mean by that is us, or rather leaders, recognizing and understanding their own triggers, because as a human being we will always be triggered by something, and those who have emotional agility have that self-awareness, and secondly they have the ability to manage it. So if they become frustrated or upset or angry with something, that the emotional agility allows them to respond thoughtfully rather than simply react immediately. And when we think about a leader in a situation, particularly in a challenging situation or even crisis, what do we look for? We want somebody who is consistent in their behavior, who's calm under pressure, who can navigate our complexity in the world we live in. So this is where emotional agility really does help create this kind of psychological safety. So people feel that they have been understood and that they're being cared for. And so the emotional agility piece is really about responding thoughtfully rather than reacting kind of immediately, and understanding our emotional triggers and then regulating our emotions rather than simply hiding them.
I just love, and to me, this is between encouragement and coaching, kind of the emotional intelligence of kind of knowing your team and what your team needs for recognition and appreciation as part of that encouragement. But then again, we've turned the mirror back and said, but you also as a leader, you need to have the emotional agility to know how to show up and how to respond. And I think I like that a lot, because we try to put the emphasis on leaders. I mean, I think highly of leaders in the role, in position, but we want to, so I don't mind putting kind of the onus, the responsibility on leaders for how we show up for our teams. And I really like that emotional agility and the combination of several of the last things in your model that we've talked about. Gemma, what's bubbling up for you?
Well, it actually makes me think back to, you know, years ago when I was early in leadership positions in my 20s, when I was, I don't know if I was taught this explicitly, but my belief was I've got to hide my I'm too emotional. I mean, I was one of the only women I was in manufacturing. You know, I'd just come from an engineering degree where I was one of only a few handful of females. And, you know, expressing emotions kind of wasn't encouraged or even allowed in some situations. And so I think I sort of learned to keep them down. And then I was really lucky to be mentored by someone who kind of gave me permission. Like, you are allowed to show that you're frustrated or you're sad or you're angry. Do it in a professional way, by all means. Don't throw the chair across the room. But, you know, you are allowed to share that part of you. And I just remember that really transforming the way I felt and also the feedback I got from people that I was leading. And I just didn't expect that because I'd spent years believing I've got to hide those bits of me.
I think that's so true, Gemma.
Yeah, Jane, I love it. I'm curious if what do you think about that? Because that, you know, again, we're not robots as leaders. I think we can build better leaders with understanding that you want to bring your emotion into it. And I love the way you said it, Gemma. It's okay to be frustrated. But how we react to being frustrated is also very important to our team. And for us in our management system, it's coming back to those people principles, being respectful, being humble, being empathetic. I can still be really aggravated and frustrated at what has occurred, but I still want to show up with those principles kind of in mind.
And the word agility in there, Jane, makes me think, for me, this is, you know, you can practice this. You know, it's not something that maybe comes naturally. You know, you can practice it and get yourself more agile with emotions. And, you know, this is, you know, thinking about it, this is something that I do a lot in training with people. And if I'm working with people, I want to get them talking about their emotions. So if I'm value stream mapping or process mapping a process with people, I'm going to ask them to tell me how they feel about each step on that process. And I'm doing that to get more information about that process, but I'm also doing that to get them comfortable talking about, you know, their emotions, because I think that's really important that we can all talk about those things rather than just hiding them and pretending they're not there. So I really love this, that word in there, agility.
Yeah, I like it a lot too. All right, Jane. So really good dialogue there. And I think we could keep going there, but for the sake of time, we'll continue to push forward and talk about the D in the Caird Squared model.
Sure. So the first D is decision making. And again, I bring this in as a behavior. And it's really to draw attention and our awareness with leaders in asking ourselves, well, how do I make decisions? You know, what's the process in which I make decisions? And this is about leaders who demonstrate care are those who have been thoughtful and intentional in relation to how they make decisions. I've based this on the Stoic principle, and you'll be familiar with this, on that idea of focusing what's within your control and what's within your circle of influence in helping us make clearer and calmer choices. As we know, in our world today that's so full of complexity and chaos, that actually decisions made with a kind of level of competence, so making sure that we found out as much information as possible, those that are consistent, that we're operating in a way that you're familiar with, I am consistent in the way that I make decisions. Decisions that are made with compassion. You know, I'm thinking about the implication of the decision I make on the team I have and the wider stakeholders. And the decisions made on the basis of care. Who I really care about. And as I said, those people in my span of care. And I think when we make a decision based on those principles of competence, consistency, compassion and care, we're beginning to deepen the level of trust and shape a healthier culture for those we're privileged to lead. What do you think, Gemma or Brad?
I guess what I'm thinking about is, you know, how hard it is sometimes for leaders to make a decision. And sometimes they've got to do that really quickly with not an enormous amount of information, or, you know, there's got to be, you know, sometimes I guess some level of gut instinct. But again, I'm wondering if this is something, you know, that you can practice, that you can get good at, and because we haven't always got time to, you know, do a big study and get all the data and ask all the people and then make the right decision. Sometimes you've just got to make a decision and move on. And I'm wondering how leaders can help themselves get better at that.
Yeah, Jim, I really like the call out and the connection to the agility of practicing and getting better at something. I think we make far too many snap judgments. And oftentimes, I really, Jane, like this piece a lot, because I think that we don't talk about our decision-making capability enough with leaders across our organization, because our decisions do matter. And probably sometimes we dismiss of, oh, that's not that big of a deal, but every little decision you make does inform the team around you, kind of how we process that and how we decided to do that thing, whatever it is. And I think including and involving some training, some practice around making sound decisions, Jane, I really liked. And again, you listed off several other things that kind of are built into that decision-making piece that I would love to continue to unpack or see. So, you know, and again, taking an aside very quickly, I mean, if we wanted to see more about this model, I know we talked about this in another podcast, but I think it's very appropriate to say it now. How do we find out more? How can we see or dig deeper into the model, into the Dare to Care workshop?
Well, thank you for asking. So on my website, thelisteningcoach.co.uk, there is a link to the Dare to Care program. It's an online program that I'll be running again in the new year, so in 2026. But I'm inviting people to drop me an email. Anyone who's interested in discovering more, just connect with me and we'll find a way to share more information. But as I said, on my website, you'll see that. But you've also inspired me, Brad, to write a few more LinkedIn posts about this wonderful podcast that we've had. So in the new year, which I think this, anyway, yeah, will be going out then.
Yeah, I can't wait to see the LinkedIn posts. We'll be sure to share them with the audience. And we'd love to get some reactions from the audience here as well. So decision making, I think, really important. And again, let's agree that we can continue to talk about how we make decisions and practice making better decisions. I think about JR for us, Gemma, and at Baptist. I mean, I think that bubbles up for me, you know, making sure a lot of times we as leaders, I think over time we're built to react and to do more things, instead of pausing, thinking, determining what really is a better answer. Do I have all the facts? Let's just start with the basics. Like, do I have all the facts of this situation? And then how can I make sound decisions? And I think having a model to help leaders do that makes a lot of sense.
It also makes me think here about, you know, we've made a decision, but are we taking the time then to reflect and think about, was that the right decision? And how much of that do we share with people? Because I think if we're big enough and humble enough to say to our team, do you know what, you know, hands up, I made that decision and that wasn't the right decision. And, you know, here's my thinking, here's my reflection. I think that could be really transformative for a team as well. A, to see that level of humility and openness, but also to understand that we're not all going to make the right decisions all the time. And that's okay. You know, as long as people are safe. But, you know, and maybe we can encourage people to talk about that and be brave about it rather than, oh, gosh, I hope no one remembers that I made that bad decision, you know, last week. So how does that fit, Jane? Is there a point for that reflection and that thinking about past decisions, even if they weren't the right ones?
Well, I think it links back to reviewing performance. I think we've talked about Care Squared being, you know, caring for your team members, but also actually caring for yourself. And what you've just inspired me to think about is, as a leader, if I'm reviewing my own performance, taking the moment to think about, oh, the decisions I've made this week or this month or over this particular project, what worked well and what didn't, you know. And I think it's an opportunity for growth. It's an opportunity for learning. And I'm really appreciative of sharing these moments with others in our team, because it normalizes us and it gives people permission to you know, feel encouraged to do something I may not do in a sensible and, you know, respectful way, always. Yeah. So I think it's a lovely link.
And so the last D in the Cared Squared model is dignity. Jane, will you tell us about that?
Indeed. And this behavior is one that I talk about as a way of upholding the inherent value that we see in our team members. And for me, by pulling all the other nine behaviors together, that it is bringing forth dignity. We are representing, we are sharing and reflecting the value that we see in others. And I think when people feel that their dignity is respected, they feel safe, they feel respected, and they feel inspired, if not motivated, to contribute. And so dignity for me is one of the essential ingredients in demonstrating how much we care.
Well, I love that. And what a beautiful way to kind of to wrap up a model and to talk about the dignity of the team around us and how we honor the inherent value in each member of the team, I think is a lovely way to kind of bring it all together.
And I would just love to say that for me personally, that sometimes people misunderstand the word care as to be a very soft thing. And I would love to be an advocate for suggesting that caring leadership isn't soft. In fact, it's both strategic and it's courageous.
Go ahead, Gemma.
I just looked up the definition of the word dignity because I was stood here listening to you talk about it, Jane. And I always think it's really interesting to go and look at the meanings of these words, because sometimes my interpretation of that might be different to someone else's. And what I really love in the definition that came up was it said dignity is the state or quality of being worthy of honor or respect. And for me, Brad, it's almost like the other side to that. We can give respect to people, but we also should try to behave in a way that is going to enable and help others to give us respect as well. So I sort of see it as the other, almost in one way, it's the other side of respect.
And reciprocal, really.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like as you give, it also comes back. And so, Jane, I think understating you kind of snuck it in, but I often think too that there's still folks that would look at a caring leadership model and say, oh, that's great, that's nice, and kind of it's soft as well. So I wanna end with, I want you to kind of help us again talk about, you called it, you had two other terms. You said it's not soft, and so will you say that again?
Yeah, caring leadership is both strategic in how we create value for humans and our business. And it's courageous. It takes courage to care, to listen, to communicate, to ask open questions, to review performance, to recognize, to encourage, to have emotional agility, to make good decisions intentionally, and to uphold the dignity in others.
Well, Jane, I can't think of a better way to end. I mean, I think that is wonderful. I really appreciate your leadership in this space. The Dare to Care program is an online program that people can go out to your website and register for. And this CARED model, the CARED Squared model that we've talked about over the last three episodes of Connecting the Dots is really great. It's been really a joy for you to be on. We really appreciate it. So on behalf of Baptist Memorial Healthcare, Jane, thank you so much for your work in the space. Thank you for your leadership, and thank you for sharing it with our audience today.
Oh, you're so welcome. I've loved it, and being with you all too. Thank you.